I don't have a lot of earthly possessions. Even if I did, they soon would pass away. My treasures are over yonder in a paradise awaiting me. I'm ready to leave here, and there I plan to stay. I'm a child. Struggles of a life turn me around. I'm headed for heaven. I've got a home that's eternal, where I'll put on a white robe and a shining new crown. I'm a child of God, joint heir with Jesus. I can't let the struggles of a life turn me around. I'm headed for heaven. I've got a home that's eternal, where I'll put on a white robe and a shining new crown. My name will be forgotten in this world of sin and shame, but that doesn't matter. I found a better name. My father's a king, and I am his heir. And I'll be alright when I make it over there. I'm a child of God, joint heir with Jesus. I can't let the struggles of a life.
Blessings. Thank you for making ways out of no ways. God bless you all this evening.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine. Everlasting arms, what a blessing.
Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. It was good for my father. It was good for my father. It was good for my father. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. It was good for my mother. It was good for my mother. It was good for my mother. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. It was good for my pastor. It was good for my pastor. It was good for my pastor. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me.
Song says, if I ever needed the Lord before, sure do need him now. I need him every day, and I need him every hour. Praise God. I hope that's your desire. I hope you feel that today. Praise God. Aren't you glad Jesus is for everybody? Young people, middle-aged people, old people. Praise God. Don't wait till you're old to serve God. Give God your heart now while you've got youth to give him. Amen. You'll enjoy life a whole lot better, I promise you. Genesis 37, if you have just a few minutes of time, I just want to drop something in your heart and try to talk to you for a few minutes if you'll let me do that. I hope you're enjoying the service tonight and just a good free worship and a good atmosphere. Amen. Genesis 37, beginning of verse 1 in the word of the Lord. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. He had 12 sons and one girl. Joseph was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. Verse 4, and when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Daddy's favorite. Joseph dreamed a dream and told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. That really helped his matter. You know they hate you, so you're just going to tell them something to hate you more. A little sibling rivalry, right? Yeah. You don't like me, I'll give you reason to like me less. Praise God. It's like mom and dad saying, stay out of each other's hair. What do? You get in each other's hair more. Yeah. No means yes, and yes means no. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, I'm surprised they didn't just say, we're going to kill you now. His brethren said, shall thou indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, told it his brethren, and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. That means they bowed to him. All your bundles of wheat, they all bowed to me. He told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him. This is brother Jacob, who was called Israel. Looked at him and said, something's wrong with you, boy. Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow ourselves to you, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, does not your brethren feed in Shechem? Come, and I will send you to them. And he said, here am I. And he said, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. Praise God. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. God's good. The dreams that Joseph had, they came from God. And God's not afraid to give a young person a dream. See, church just isn't for old people. Hallelujah. Praise God. Scripture says even a child shall lead them. Just give God what you've got. There's a verse here I want to focus on tonight. I wanted to just talk to you for a few minutes about it. It's an interesting thought. I feel like the Lord highlighted to me, and there's a lot in it. There's a lot in this whole lesson about Joseph. Everything for him was about to change. The verse is verse 14. And he said, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron. This is the valley. This is where they lived. This is where Jacob's tents were. This was his main hub. This was his home. This is where Joseph in his coat of many colors was safe. This was their dwelling place. But he was sent out of this vale of Hebron to go find his brethren, the ones that hated him. So we find Joseph now, not just by the commandment of Jacob, his father, but Joseph, by the will of God, taking a journey that he might be thinking is just an ordinary journey. I'm going to see, like I've always done before. I'm going to go see how my wicked brothers are doing. And tell my father that they're not doing everything you sent them to do, and I'm going to bring it back to you. Now, I don't know what Joseph's thinking was, what his behavior was, what his maturity level was at age 17. You have an imagination like I do. We could assume that he was spoiled and favored so much of his father that it went to his head. You might be right. So one might think, well, why didn't God just wait till he was a little bit more mature to give him these dreams? He didn't want to. God gave him the dreams right at this moment because it was the perfect time, because God knew Joseph would go tell his brethren. And that's exactly what he wanted Joey to do. He didn't wait till he was 20 and thought, well, this probably won't go over good, so I better not say anything. No, he said, this is the perfect time to begin the journey of what I showed him in a dream, or what I will show him in this dream. So he had no idea. Joseph had no idea the depth of what he was seeing or why he was seeing it, but God knew. If God ever entrusts you with something, don't ever think for one moment that he gave it to you too early. God don't make mistakes. Regardless of what we do with it, it doesn't mean God made a mistake in giving it to you. So he's leaving now his veil of safety, his comfort zone, his spoiled brat arena. And now he's going after his brethren, not knowing that that would be the last time he would see his daddy for 22 years. Not realizing that he would never come and live in the land of Canaan again ever for the rest of his life. He lived to be 110 years old. And he would never return to dwell in the land of Canaan other than in a coffin. We oftentimes pray and seek after God and we fast and we say, oh God, give me a burden for the lost, or, oh God, use me. We sing the church song, Jesus, use me, oh Lord, don't refuse me. Surely there's a work that I can do. And we can get emotional in church, and we can get stirred by the preacher and stirred by the music, and we can get stirred by reading a scripture, and we can shed tears until we get sent out of the veil. And then we might want to reconfigure how sincere we were in the church house about, Lord, just send me. I'll do whatever you want me to do. We talk about revival. We talk about church growth. But do you want it? You want to change and become something for God, but do you want it? Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying don't pray for all this stuff. I'm just saying don't be surprised when he sends you out of the veil. I'm talking about, I'm using this figuratively speaking, out of your zone of comfort and safety and used to stuff. If God suddenly now flips the coin and everything's changed, a word from God will do that. Look, when you're converted and your sins are blotted out, everything's going to change. I promise you by the Lord Jesus Christ, everything's going to change. It's going to change for the good, but it's going to change. Hallelujah. Don't be all that shocked if brother and sister or mother or father or school friends all of a sudden just look at you and think, what's going on? What's up? Something's different. I'm not going to linger too much on that. I'm going to come back to this and just talk a little bit about what Joseph went through real quick. So he sent him out of the veil of Hebron and he came to Shechem. And as we start reading, he finds out where they are. And while he's coming to them, he's wearing that coat of many colors. I'm daddy's boy. See my coat? I have one you don't. I have dreams. You're going to bow to me. And you don't. And as he's approaching with that coat of many colors, his brethren decide, we've had it with him. We're going to kill him. Nice sons of Israel. People talk about how wonderful they were. They're all a bunch of crooks. They weren't nice people. They put gray head on the hair of Jacob. He even told them later, these sons, man, they're bringing me to the grave. You just read about them. You realize, man, they all needed to be filled with the Holy Ghost because none of them. But they conspire. So they take Joseph, and Reuben, the eldest, decides, well, I'm going to try to save the boy and at least get him back to his father. But they stripped him of that coat. The scripture says like this. They took off his coat, his coat of many colors. Not the one he left in the closet, that coat of many colors. That represented the boy stuck in the veil of Hebron, under dad's protection, under dad's favor. But now things have changed. Sometimes in your walk with God, it's just going to feel like the wind has changed and all the favor that was ever at your back is now in your face. Yes. Praise the Lord. And it'll be God. I know that don't sound good, because why would a loving, caring, gentle, loving, caring, gentle Savior, why would he ever do anything to me? Why would he ever let me be thrown into a pit like my brothers just threw me into? And then they figured, well, why kill him dead? He's not worth anything. We could sell him and get something for him. Now, look, I'm slightly imagining this. I'm one of 13. My dad was the eldest of 13, so we know what it's like to have a bunch of people in the house. And we wouldn't feel bad if the Ishmaelites took one or two. Be like, Pastor, thank God and Greyhounds. Write to us if you live. But now he had 11 of his brothers, well, 10 of them at least. Reuben went off somewhere to get a Big Mac, I guess, and then the other ones decided, well, look, he's here alone, and we're going to sell him. And they sold him for 20 pieces of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him down to Egypt, and then it went from being in a pit. Now that coat of many colors, all these things in the Word of God, and I'm kind of breezing through this, so forgive me. I don't mean to be ruining Scripture, but that coat of many colors represented, again, his comfort zone, where he was, and all that was about to change. It was significant for him to have that stripped from him, taken from him, because now he's moving forward. Remember, he's bearing the dreams of God. They're not his dreams. They're God's dreams. They're not his will. It's God's will. It's not his. Remember, God's got a promise to his great-granddad, Abraham, saying, I'm going to bring you into Egypt, and you're going to be there. Your people are going to be there for 400 years, and then I'm going to bring them out by a mighty hand. So all of this is at play, and now Joseph is involved. Let me just say that sometimes the will of God changes everything, and it'll change the rest of your life forever. Yes. Hallelujah. Question is, before we get from the pit to Potiphar's house, the question is, are you willing to go? I feel sometimes, Brother Bradley, there are times in the lives of children of God that when they begin to venture out beyond the veil of Hebron, so to speak, whatever it might be for them, their church, family, their, if there's a calling of God, if there's a word from the Lord, and there's something that's coming from God, it's got to be God. And there's something beyond where you are, what you're used to. Sometimes people begin to venture out, and fear brings them back. Please follow God. It's not always going to be peaches and cream. But if you're following God, everything's going to be all right. He'll always be with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. But the key is when God gives you a word, his word always comes to pass. He never sends a word that does not return to him with something. Kind of like the bird flying out of the ark and coming back with a piece of fig leaf or something, twig in its olive branch, thank you, in its mouth. God's word will return with something. It will accomplish what he sends it out to do, as the scripture says. So, but the thing is, can we go along with that word and enjoy what it accomplishes instead of becoming frightened and then coming back to your safety? Right? Where everything's comfortable, where I don't have to exert any effort, I don't have to face the affliction, the different circumstances, I don't have to get my nice coat stripped from me, thrown into a pit, made to be treated like an animal. So now here's Joseph, he's being picked up. I don't know what was going through this kid's mind. He's a 17-year-old. And all of a sudden, he's being thrown in the back of a wagon with a bunch of merchant men, and he's on his way to Egypt and his brother, and he looks, and there's no telling what was going through this kid's mind. They sell him to Potiphar, and he realizes, dear God, I'm a slave. Doesn't it make you want to dream a dream? Yeah, this dream's going to get me thrown into a pit. I mean, it's great to, when God speaks to you, there's so much peace and there's so much thought we put into it. And it's like, God spoke to me, you know, got a vision, got a dream, and you feel special. And wow, if you know it's from God. It's just when it begins to fulfill itself, that's when we begin to be like in question here. But the game was afoot, so to speak, once he was given the dream. Now it was time. It was in motion. Remember, God's in control of the dream. And nothing that happens. Let me just say something about the time that we are in. I know we put so much time into 2020. It's hashtag now. That's how important it is. But please understand, none of these things are out of God's control. as bad as it has all been, we don't know what God is doing in the middle of all of this. I'm not blaming God for any of this. I'm just saying we don't know the hand of God, the will of God. For all you know, something you prayed about 10 years ago might be about to be fulfilled because of all of these things. Praise the Lord. So we just got to hang on tight and ride the storm. Amen. We've got somebody on board that knows how to calm the storm. So we're going to be all right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And it could very well be that in the midst of all of this affliction and oppression and all of this chaos that's been happening, a mighty revival is about to happen. God knows what to do. Understand how I'm saying this. It's not that God's pouring out pestilence, but he could. America's definitely been evil enough. This world has definitely been evil enough that it could get a pestilence or two from the Lord. Yeah. Praise God. Hell's coming for the disobedient. That's going to be a pestilence, an everlasting one. So it'd be better now if he pesters you into repentance, then you get pestilenced forever and you can't change it. And it's not that God wants to destroy you. He has no pleasure in the soul that dies. Calvary and the resurrection of Christ proves that God loves you enough that he wants to save you. So please understand, God's desire is that you come to repentance, that you run to repentance, that you make heaven happy, that you have forsaken the wickedness of this world. That'll make God so happy. Amen? Amen? All right, I got to hurry. So he's in Potiphar's house, and he's not happy. But yet God blesses him, the scripture says, makes him pretty much lord over all of Potiphar's house so that Potiphar doesn't even know half the stuff he's got. It's all in Joseph's hands until Mrs. Potiphar. But again, here's the will of God, and something is in motion. And it's not always, all the details are not always nice when it's in motion. I think tonight, I believe, if I can say it like this, that God, again, in 2021, is saying to all of us that even in the midst of uncomfortable circumstances, the will of God is still in motion. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Can you endure it? Yeah. Amen. Can you hang on to the dream? Can you stay outside of the veil of your comfort zone? Can you allow God to just snatch you and rip you out of the comfort zone that keeps you safe? Can he send a Saul of Tarsus to mess it all up? He told them to preach the gospel to every creature, but they seemed to be loving Jerusalem. And he did. He said, go to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, to the uttermost part. That's what he told them. But somehow they're all just congregating in Jerusalem, and all the Jews were hearing it and just having a grand old time. Woo, what a mighty God we serve. And God was like, yeah, I'm mighty, but I want to be mighty in Samaria too. And I want to be mighty over there in Rome too. And I want to be mighty at some point in Asia too. And I want you to go over here too. And so, well, if you're not going to go, I'm just going to send Saul. I'm not saying that he sent Saul, but he certainly allowed Saul to wreak havoc for the church. And it caused, as you read in Scripture, it caused everybody to go everywhere. And they went everywhere. It didn't say they went and sucked their thumb and started crying, oh, Saul's killing all of us. No, they said they went everywhere preaching. God said, right, that's what I asked you to do the first time. Amen. So Mrs. Potiphar is finding that Joseph looks kind of handsome. And she goes after Joseph. See, even though he's a kid, even though he was who he was when this all began, obviously, he gleaned something from Jacob at this stage in Jacob's life, because Jacob was fearing God and walking with God. And Joseph refused to submit himself to the intention of Potiphar's wife, who wanted some extra curricular activities with him. And he said, look, lady, you know, you're off your rocker. This guy's made me lord over everything in his house but you. You don't belong to me. So the answer is no. And let me say it again in Hebrew. No. And if I could speak Egyptian, no. What part of no don't you understand? Hey, we need some young people that live for God and who are able to say no. You want to continue in the will of God? You want to see the fulfillment of those dreams? Learn how to say no. The old slogan growing up was, say no to drugs. That's a good idea. Say no to a lot of things. Nothing wrong with saying no in a world that says everything can go. You can do it. Just do the wild thing. It's all right. God said, no, it's not. It's okay. It takes more integrity and more character to say no than it does to say yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, welcome to church. Praise God. You go somewhere that calls itself church and it won't tell you to abstain and to refrain from fornication and from all sorts of stuff. You're not in a church. Hallelujah. I make no apologies for what I just said. So he said no to the lady. And he was frantic to get out of there. She was persistent. Day by day. Sleep with me. Sleep with me. Says, this woman's out of her mind. What have you been smoking? Not making fun of it. But she was persistent. Day after day. After day going after him, and he kept saying no to the point where she grabbed a hold of his clothes. Look, the world's aggressive. The world is aggressive. I'm making fun of her, but at the same time, it was a serious situation. The world is aggressive. It'll keep coming for you until you just put your foot down and say, I ain't happening. And she grabbed his cloak, and he flew out of there. And that's the right thing to do. Get your carcass out of there. Praise God. If there's any atmosphere of wrongdoing about to happen, get your carcass out of there. Get out of there quick. Yep. Let your fear and love for God and your love for righteousness say, I'm out of here. Yeah. And he fled. And there she was holding the cloak, and she decided to, all part of the will of God. God knew Joseph had integrity. But here he's going through some rough things. Young guy. Away from home, he could have done anything he wanted to do, especially being that blessed. So, old man Potiphar comes home. I'm finishing up. Thank you for listening. Old man Potiphar comes home, and she fills his ear full of, he tried to force himself on me. Yada, yada, yada. So he gets thrown into prison. Got to love the dreams of God. Pit, slavery, jailhouse. Look, there are going to be some things in life that make you feel like, have I heard from God? Yeah. I'm not so sure I heard from God. God sends you to a city somewhere to do work for God, and nobody wants to go to church. And that's how we get to thinking, nobody wants to pray, nobody wants to serve God. It's this heathen country. Pastor used to tell us years ago that down south they called New England the preacher's graveyard. Oh, I love that. I love it every time he says it. And I love the enthusiasm and faith. He says, this is a preacher's paradise. He's right. God knows how to send us to graveyards and see people resurrected. It all depends on how you look at it. And it all depends on whether or not you're willing to endure the storm to see the miracle take place. If you know God has sent you somewhere to do something for himself, you know something's going to happen at some point. God cannot lie. He's not just out there trying to do nothing because he's got nothing to do. Oh, I think I'll send you to Timbuktu. Nothing's going to happen, but you might enjoy the trip. No. If he's sending you somewhere, there's purpose behind it. It's going to happen. Everything that God said, when he says, I'm saying, thus saith the Lord, it's coming to pass. I don't care how you feel. I don't care what the devil does. I don't care what the world does. Praise God, the world could split in two and bump into the moon, but God's will is going to be performed. Hallelujah. It's not about whether or not they know that. Do you know that? And if you do, it'll keep you in Potiphar's house. Instead of running home. And if you get put in the prison, God knows. So there he is in the prison house. And two of Pharaoh's servants, the butler and the baker, get thrown in the prison. And they both have a dream. And one says, I'm restored. And the other one says, I don't know. I got birds pecking at me. And Joseph kind of looks at them both and says, oh, boy. Because God opened up his understanding to understand their dreams and said, well, you're going to be restored and you're going to hang. Imagine telling them that. Sometimes we get so hasty. I want a word from the Lord. We may not want one. And you may not want to be the one that bears it either. I know what your dream means. Well, what does it mean? I really don't want to tell you. And so he tells the butler, he says, look, tell Pharaoh, remember me. Tell him about me. I don't belong here. I was put here falsely. Joseph, look, no matter, he's not thinking about the dreams. Let me just back up for a minute. At this moment, Joseph is not thinking about the dreams at all. He's not there pondering every day. I wonder what these dreams mean. Is this all a part of it? He's not. And this brings up an interesting point that when God does give you a word, oftentimes the circumstances obscure the view. We forget. We get so caught up with what we're going through that we forget about the word of the Lord because the storm's blowing. And when the storm's blowing and it's beating against you and the water's filling up the boat, you're not there going, what a mighty God we serve. I got that joy, 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 joy down in. Look at what God's doing. He's filling up my boat and I'm probably going under. Oh, hallelujah. I wouldn't be doing that, would you? And neither was he. So his mind is not on these dreams. They're far from his mind. All of these brazen, rough circumstances that are beating. If he was immature, if he was the spoiled brat of Jacob, that stuff's being beat out of this boy. And there's going to be some stuff that gets beat out of you when you follow God. Because if you're going to go from the kid with the coat of many colors to sitting second only to Pharaoh, you're going to go through some stuff. Hallelujah. And so 2 years pass. 2 years pass. 2 years after he told the dreams to the butler and the baker. 2 years pass and he's still in prison. And even though he's in the prison, God blessed his hands so that the keeper of the prison made him kind of lord over everything in the prison. So God is blessing Joseph even though he's in misery. Trying to figure out, why am I here? Why am I here? Why am I going through what I'm going through? Have you ever asked that question? Yes. We've got to be human enough to think that at some point Joseph probably asked that too. Yeah. Why am I here? Yeah. Why are all of these circumstances happening to me? So one day Pharaoh wakes up and he's got a dream and he's not happy. Calls all of his magic people together and said, here's my dream, and none of them could discern it. You don't have to worry about the religions of this world. God knows how to give a word that nobody can figure out but him. Yeah. Praise God. Look, there's no competition. Jesus is the mighty God. Amen. He's King of kings. He's Lord of lords. He's President of all presidents. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. And that should excite every one of us. There's no competition here. Praise God. He's supreme. And then all of a sudden the butler. Oh my God. I forgot about the guy in the jail. And he goes and tells Pharaoh, hey, when I was in prison, this is what happened. And it came to pass. So they fetch him. Now in the fulfillment of time, it's time for Joseph to come out of the prison. It could be that he needed 2 more years to beat out of him. Why, God? Why is this happening to me? Until he could get to a point where he just submitted himself to God and trusted God and held on to his integrity. Praise God. Isn't that better than whining and complaining and just thinking, God, you sent me to this city, armpit of New England and Norwich, nothing alive here. Even the buildings are dead. Why am I here? And everybody's just not sane. Trying to figure out how to answer that. Hallelujah. Kind of right now, I don't know. After this last year, I think every town, city's like that. Yeah. People are losing their minds, doing stupidest things possible. We see how just out of control things can get. But now he's standing in front of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says, I've got a dream and it's troubling me. And he said, well, and I heard you can interpret dreams. He said, well, I serve a God who can, so let's hear it. And then he tells him the dream, and Joseph is promoted to governor, the vizier, the second only to Pharaoh in all Egypt. And then one day, now what Joseph saw in their dreams was they were going to have 7 years of plenty in the harvest and then 7 years of famine that would eat up those previous 7 years. So God gave Joseph wisdom on what to do so that when the famine came, they would have storehouses of corn to cause them to survive during the famine. So that when 2 years into the famine came, now remember, at this present stage, Joseph has been gone for 22 years. That's a long time. 22 years, 7 years, 2 years into the famine, and all of a sudden, here come his brethren, 10 of them. And they all come and they bow to him. Now, Joseph recognizes who they are. They don't recognize him. He speaks through an interpreter, but he recognizes them. And he speaks roughly to them, purposefully. And the scripture says, then Joseph remembered the dreams. Wouldn't that be amazing? After 22 years, didn't even think a lick about any of those dreams, all of those tough circumstances, all of this is being replayed in his mind. The pit, the merchant men, Potiphar's house, Potiphar's wife, the prison. Now, the time he spent being a slave and a prisoner was 13 years. Spent all of his 20s in the late part of his teens as a slave and in prison. Oh, hallelujah. You really want to do the will of God? You really want a word from the Lord? Like one preacher said, I think it was Hezekiah, saying to Isaiah, is there a word from the Lord? Yeah, you're going to die. Get your house in order. Maybe I shouldn't have asked that. Praise God. But just to let you know, and in concluding here tonight, just the impact in Joseph's life. You have an imagination, use it. Use it. Use your imagination. Think of all the stuff he went through, all because of a dream. Now, you know he rehearsed it, and he realized what God had done, and he knew it was the Lord. So when you read all of that passage, sometimes people take the liberty. They've made movies about this and get it all wrong, you know. Joseph wanted to hang them all off a cliff just to take a little moment of vengeance, then kind of pull them back up and say, just kidding. You would think he'd have the right to be bitter, but, you know, when you see the hand of God, it just deflates. I tell you, if there was any sort of animosity in Joseph, if I see Judah, I want to rip his head off. If I see Simeon, I want to drop him off a cliff. And never speak to these guys again. They'll never get a Christmas card from me. I'll never text them. I'm blocking them on my social media sites. No, when he saw all of them and they all bowed themselves, you knew. Joseph knew right then and there, dear God, this is why I went through what I went through. This is why he pulled me out of daddy's house. This is why he took me out of my comfort zone. This is why he made my life seemingly a miserable hell for the last 22 years. Glory unto God. For this moment, it was the Lord. And that's all he could say. It wasn't you. And he told them that later. It wasn't you that sent me here. It was God. Let's all stand. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Jesus is recognizable. He is recognizable. When you see the hand of God, look, even Pharaoh's magicians, when God was plaguing Egypt with those 10 plagues, and God allowed them to go along and mimic each one and do certain stuff just to play along. God will do that. It doesn't matter. You don't have to overthink those scriptures. He'll let them stick, duplicate certain things. Their sticks become serpents. God will play along, say, all right, I'll let you play and mock them. But there came a point in time when those magicians came back to Pharaoh and said, this is the finger of God. We're playing with something that's real here. We can't duplicate that. Yeah, we've gone to college and learned how to be magicians, but no, this is something divine. See, you can't duplicate God. You know, he has a signature. This is the finger of God. Amen. And Joseph said, this is God. Hallelujah. Made it all worth it. Now, I don't know what you're going through presently. I don't know how you're faring these days, other than I can trust that because you're children of God, everything's all right. But what I'm saying is there could be something involved with God in all of this for you. Just hang in there long enough for you to say, it's the Lord. This is God. What I've been through, it is the Lord. Stop giving this world credit. Stop giving the devil credit. Stop sucking your thumb. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. And just look for Jesus to appear and make sense of all of this. Go ahead and love him. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus, hallelujah. Praise God. Sister Erica, could you come to the piano? And I might try to help you sing it too. We're all singing it. We know the chorus, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Hallelujah. Don't give up when things get tough. Don't give up and quit God. Give in and serve God. Hallelujah. Don't let the things that are happening around you, if it's tough right now, don't let it suffocate you and drown you. Just hang on. Just hang on. Sometimes we just got to be tough and hang on. Pastor preached about that once. Just find a tree and hold on to it. He was going through a tough moment in his life. And instead of doing something stupid that he thought to do in his human mind, he just went and grabbed a hold of a big tree that was by his house. And he hung on to it, called on Jesus' name. Just called on God, crying, holding on to that tree. Sometimes we just got to hold on. Amen. Praise God. And because he lives, we can. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Because he just
Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he lives? Yeah. Don't despise the fiery trial. It's just going to make you better. Don't look for opportunities to be pampered. Stay in your comfort zone. Life for all of us, not even just regarding church stuff, but just everyday living stuff. There are going to be things you'll find, and this is why we can take the Word of God and apply it even towards natural things of everyday living and glean from the principles of the stories and of the happenings and help us. It can help you to not stay in your veil of Hebron, in other words, and be afraid to venture out. Where instead, you want to keep it safe and keep your comfort zone and never try, because if you try, you might fail, and failure hurts. That's another side of this lesson here, not quite the same story of Joseph, but I'm saying that the point is there to be made. Look, many have said this, that trying, when we fail, it's because we're trying. Don't fail to try. Even if you fail trying. Keep trying. Don't let life put you in a bubble. Because God's going to break you out of a bubble one way or another anyhow. So learn it. Learn it from the Lord. And go outside of the comfort zone. And don't just dream about doing something for God. Do something for God. Praise God.
One evening, just talking to the Lord, I told him the needs of my life. I asked him to help me, then I looked into his word, and all of my needs were supplied. My courage, lonely or in trouble, he's ready to answer each call, and I want to say, my feet.